everyone, and welcome to another show of the Highbury Squad. So today it's episode number 37. I actually remembered the number. And today I welcome back my podcast brother. Hello, Mr. Campbell.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm very good. We've missed you.
I've missed you too, darling. Oh. Both of you.
Yeah, we've missed you.
We'll have a good pod today.
We will. Got quite a bit to talk about, and I think it's getting a little bit heated. Anyway, hello, my lovely Sophie in La La Land. How are you?
Buongiorno. How is everybody today? And by the way, I'd like our listeners to know that the only reason you remembered it was episode 37 is because Super Kevin Campbell lobbed one over to you, crossed it into the box, and bosh, you headed it in.
True.
That's how that happened.
You had to tell everyone, didn't you? You are like an annoying little sister. And Kevin, well, I cannot criticise Kevin today, can I? I have to be nice to Kevin today.
Yes.
Kevin has
it's
done
early
a doors.
You're supposed to always yeah, to be nice to me.
I'm always nice, but I cannot be not nice, can I, today, Kevin?
We'll see about that.
For all the listeners, Kevin's done a very nice deed for me today. So that's all good. Right, let's move on. Well, the last pod, Kev, me and Sophie had Dale on from Stretty News, pre-United. I went for a 2-1. I think Dale went for 1-1. And I think, Soph, didn't you go for 2-2?
I did.
Yeah. I was really positive. I thought he was going to learn from Villa and then Forest. I thought he was going to combine it. I thought he was going to think like us, that they were there for the taking. And they are pants. And the next team that play United will trounce them, because I thought they were terrible. Unfortunately, I didn't like the formation. I didn't like who he picked. I'm not one of these that wants Emery out, but I'm starting to think that he goes into games not wanting to lose them. And that's a little bit of a problem for me, because I really wanted to beat Man United. We never beat them. And if it was ever going to happen, it was going to be last Monday night. But it wasn't. We're going to discuss the game. Kev, well, for once, you were there and I weren't. So what was it like? See, I just want to say something. Sorry, I was going to come to you, but something's come to my mind. I have to say that I have seen a massive split from the people that were there to the people that weren't. I thought it was a very dull 45 minutes. I was quite bored, and most of my social media and friends were saying the same thing. But the people at the game, which I'm going to ask you about, did not agree. They said it was quite an entertaining game. The second half got better, obviously, but it wasn't great. So tell us from your perspective what you thought of the first half and the formation.
Formations are really something that fans like to stick on. You know, what is the formation and blah, 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 blah. The bottom line of it, as far as I was concerned, was it was two poor teams who had great teams in the past, and they're nowhere near it at the moment. You know, United played Pogba, half it Pogba, half it Rashford, as far as I'm concerned. We didn't look great. United started the better team. But there seems to be, we seem to be unbalanced in midfield. And I thought our defence, Callum Chambers, I've got to say something, Callum Chambers come back and he shored up that side up, having got booked in the first half. He shored up that right hand side. There was not much coming down that right hand side to cause us much problems. But here's the issue. Xhaka, Torreira didn't have bad games, but I was seeing Torreira playing at number 10, like in behind the front. And I just, for me, he's a holding midfielder. Now, if Torreira's trying to play number 10, Guendouzi, who I thought has been our star man so far this season, obviously needs a partner there to be able to break play up and break on teams And I just don't see. I think it's so imbalanced. It's crazy. So the first part, United were good. The second part of the first half, Arsenal were better. But I just think it's two poor teams. And I've got to be honest about it. We're both poor. We rely on Aubameyang so much. And it just shows we miss Lacazette.
Yeah.
Immensely.
I said that the other day. Okay, so Kev, you've pointed that out. Who would you have picked in hindsight?
I would have took the game to them, yes. Amanda. Because as far as I'm concerned, I thought United were vulnerable. So we need players in midfield who are going to run beyond Aubameyang.
Mm.
Ramsey used to do that. And the next best one who could do that is Willock.
Yeah.
I would have played Willock because one thing Willock can do, he's got a good engine, he can carry the ball, and he can run in behind because he's always looking to get on the end of things. But when you play players who are just technical players, who want the ball to feed, etc., 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 soon as it gets into transition, United were catching us on the break, and that's how they eventually scored at the end of the first half. So, you know, we've got to have a variety of players in that midfield who could do different things. And I just think the players in there are all much of a muchness. They're all on the ball players who, you know, can do a little bit, pass it here, pass it square, pass it there. But nobody gambles. And I think Willock is the only one in that squad in midfield who actually could run in behind and gamble. So I think we missed a massive trick. But again, I'm gonna go back a little bit because when Arsene Wenger, sorry to bring him up, we used to go away and we used to be done by half time because we used to be too open.
Yeah.
Now Unai Emery's making sure we're not conceding. People are saying, oh, we're too defensive. So we need to try and find a happy medium in between. But I would have liked, after last season, I would have liked Unai Emery to start understanding, look, here's an opportunity here to really put a feather in our cap. Because we've not won at Manchester United since 2006. And they were there for the taking, let's be honest. And we let it slip. We did let it slip.
Okay.
Great to come back and equalise.
Yeah.
I believe we missed the trick.
We have won there since, but we just haven't won there in the league.
Can
we
I
won
just,
in the FA Cup.
Sorry,
can I just go back to something? You said you'd have Willock instead of who?
For me, Xhaka wouldn't play.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
And I'll tell you why Xhaka wouldn't play. I keep hearing Granit Xhaka isn't a CDM, a central defensive midfielder.
No, he's not.
So what is he then?
He's not.
He's got to be an attacking midfielder then, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, okay, what assists does he do? Does he run with the ball? Does he create chances? Does he thread through balls? No, I don't see that. So, therefore, he's got good attributes to his game, his passing and everything, but they're not killers. So I need someone in there who's going to be a bit more productive. And that's why I would have chose Willock.
Okay, so let's swap over to Soph. You've heard what I've said, and Kev, I agree. We're both saying that we should have taken it to them. The formation was wrong. We're reliant on Aubameyang and VAR, which we'll come to in a minute. What did you think about the formation and the team you picked?
As you guys know, I've been complaining about Emery for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And I've been definitely on his side and absolutely still willing to give him time. But we also have to see that he's willing to adapt during this time. Great coaches adapt to their opposition. And we've all said it, I think ad nauseum, every single Arsenal fan, that Man United were there for the taking. And it's not happened in a long time for us to really be able to walk away from Old Trafford with 3 points. So instead of, and by the way, our form away from home against the top six is very poor. I actually don't think we've beaten a top six team away from home in 2.5 seasons. So our away form has to improve, period, if we want to finish in top four. That was the only reason, one of maybe two or three reasons, but the main reason why we didn't qualify in the Champions League last year and even in Wenger's last year, our away form is horrific. And then you look at being accountable, players who make mistakes and holding them accountable for that. And then you also look at players who may be struggling, new to the team, but they too have to be held accountable for that. And I feel like we're getting into a bit of Wengerism here. The team used to pick itself. There wasn't that competitiveness that I'm going to get dropped if I don't have a good game. Socrates should have been dropped. David Luiz should have been dropped. Nicolas Pepe should be dropped. And I say only for Nicolas Pepe's psyche and confidence. Put him on the bench. Let the boy have a little think. Bring him on as a super sub and let him have a potential moment. Set the team up to set him up. And I know I've been hard on him. I've called him Jovino 2.0 right now because that's how he's playing. And it's not his fault. And people have scolded me online saying, hey, listen, it's not his fault. And then other people online have agreed with me. 72 million, I expect some ROI and I expect it a little quickly in this day and age. And stop telling me Henri and Bergkamp and Pires took a while to set in. Different times, different players. Also, what is he showing when he's on the pitch? He's afraid, doesn't have the confidence. And I'm worried that Emery's not the kind of manager that puts his arm around players and nurtures them, right? I feel like Guendouzi has played like a monster in the last two games because it's him, not because his manager has empowered him to. I think we ended up getting something out of that Villa game despite the manager because of the players. He should have started Joe Willock. Joe Willock was one of our best players in the preseason. He's been one of our best players when he's been given the opportunity. He plays fearless football. Saka plays fearless football. Guendouzi plays fearless football. They don't care. They've been given a chance to play for the Arsenal. Callum Chambers playing fearless football. And that guy's been shat on from a height, not only from the club being sent out on loan, but also from fans. Me being one of them who wanted him out of the club. And now for me, I put him on the team sheet before Socrates and David Luiz. So the other thing I think that we need to be very cognizant of here is this. Granit Xhaka is now the captain of Arsenal. And the spineless way in which Unai Emery did it turned me off him even more. He actually, and then the argument too from some fans saying, oh, but Pep Guardiola did that with City. Excuse me. It's Pep Guardiola. Okay. I know Unai has won three Europa Leagues and he's won the treble in France and all that kind of stuff, but let's not get too crazy here. The difference is City's a team of success. City's a team with world-class players. We're a broken team that are trying to come back in the Premier League and find our feet and find our way. And he wanted Xhaka as captain and he spinelessly put it in the hands of the players. And then it's like, oh yeah, Xhaka's captain. And Aubameyang came in second. And I can't even remember now who the third captain is. What a joke. We're supposed to be building a team for the future. A team like, I would love Frank Lampard right now in a sense that he's given the youth a chance. And Chelsea are getting a bit too much credit for him because Wenger was the original, I'm going to give young players a chance manager in the Premier League. But to see him stifling Willock after an amazing run, to see him stifling Reece Nelson came on and made a difference, had an impact on the game. Joe Willock came on with 10 minutes left, had an impact on the game. You know, Granit Xhaka slows the game down. And you guys are talking about, is he a CDM or is he a more forward midfielder? He can't be a forward. He's not got the pace. He slows everything down. And that is our biggest problem. So he keeps playing with this insurance policy. And for some reason for him, Granit Xhaka is his insurance policy. Whereas really he's become a liability, not in this game. And to be fair to him, I know you're going to get onto the ducking scenario, but he's now become the punching bag for every mistake, every loss, every bad thing that happens on the pitch. And I think we're getting into scary ground. And what I do realize is this, right? Lacazette needs to come back. He's very important. Saka is a little star in the making. We've got to manage him properly. And let's pray and hope, because everyone keeps saying we're going to be a different team when they come back. But let's hope what Bellerin and Holden and Tierney do play, because that width will make a difference. And Nicolas Pepe will not become the Arsenal player we want until Bellerin is playing on that right side.
But can I just say something? Let's just go back a little bit to the Pepe thing. So I put a tweet out from my account and the Highbury squad to see what everyone's views were. Should he be dropped or should he not? You know, should we give him more time or whatever? I personally feel that what you're saying about him, and then I want to go into Xhaka, is not fair. And you keep saying, well, you can't compare to Bergkamp, Henry, different times. Why is it different times? Why did they get time, but Pepe doesn't get time?
Because when they played, I saw something. I don't see anything in Pepe. And don't give me the Virgil van Dijk hasn't been the same since Pepe dribbled past him.
He's got
touches here and there. I'm not saying he should be dropped in tonight's game, in the European games. I do think he should start on the. I think he should start Reece Nelson and Saka against Bournemouth. I think Pepe needs to be dropped. Yes, he needs to learn a lesson. He's not been good. He's stunk the joint up.
He did at Old Trafford, I'll give you that. But not many of them played that well. But my point is this. I don't think he's as bad as you're making out. And to be fair, I've looked at hundreds of responses and most were saying the criticism is unfair. Okay. He's had 7 matches. And also, if he is playing, every single match, again, that's Emery that's picking him. And I always had this argument with Wenger. You may blame a player, but Wenger picks him. Okay. So I'm not saying.
You think Emery's wrong for playing Xhaka every game? Some fans think he's wrong for playing Pepe in the next game.
I know, but there are many, many fans that think that he needs time. If you go and look at the tweet, it's got about 200-300 likes about laying off on the criticism of him. It's not going to help. But let's just go back to Xhaka.
Come on. Players need to grow a sack.
They
please.
Do,
he
but he's
$72 million.
He's come from League One in France. He's a new player in the Premier League. Not everyone settles very, very quickly. And let's just pass the Pepe thing on to Kev, because Kev would know. I mean, Kev, when new players came in from different leagues with you, did they all just start off phenomenal or did they need time?
No,
that's unfair the way you've skewed the question, because you're suggesting that I think players who come in should all start off great. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, that's not what.
But seven matches.
Sophie, to show something though, come on. If it wasn't for Aubameyang handing him a penalty, what would we be talking about right now?
He has showed something, but anyway, go on, Kev.
Sophie, can I just say this? And this would help. Looking at Arsenal from the outside in, a lot of people don't realise what it's like on the inside, right? So he's in France, he's playing in Lille, he's doing well, League One over there, looks the business. And they watch the Arsenal games and they probably think it's easy. You know, great team, big club, they just don't realise. Then he gets signed. And now he's on the inside. The level of performance is different. The training quality is different. The intensity is totally different. The way English teams play, the way they're going to mark him, the way the physicality is, the speed of it. There's so much for him to adapt to. And I'm not saying he can't adapt, because I believe he will adapt. And I know it's only 7 games. And remember, he didn't start the first game. He's played some as sub and he started the last few. But the only way he's going to assimilate and he's going to adapt is by playing. That's the only way. Because, and add to all of that, this global club called the Arsenal, he's got a £72 million rucksack on his back with bricks in it. It looks like he's playing with the handbrake on, because that ain't the Pepe we see or know. So he has to start to be able to come to terms with, right, I'm here and I've got to perform. I've got to perform and I've got to perform well. But I also have to adapt. It's a different language. It's a different. I know football's football, but it's a different football. There's different demands on him. So I think we have to.
Let's talk about what it really is, Kev. It's mental. Matteo Guendouzi is younger than Pepe, is he not? Maybe a year between the two of them.
Matteo Guendouzi doesn't have a £72 million
He does, but he has expectations, and he's a young player.
The
price tag is definitely expect. Look what's happening to Hazard at Real Madrid in La Liga. He's gone to a slower league and he's struggling.
Right.
What I'm saying is, don't use the age thing, the money tag thing. I even mentioned that before. Yes, that comes with pressure. But when you see Guendouzi playing, when you see Guendouzi, yeah, but at some point, right, you have to also look at it from the point of view whereby Guendouzi is the same age as him, and the expectations on him are so high right now. People are already talking about, oh, a future Real Madrid or Barcelona player or whatever it is. It doesn't matter to him. He just goes into every game and he shows effort and ingenuity.
Sophie, what expectation is there on Guendouzi that's more
There's
than
There's a lot
Pepe.
Of expectations. Why does Guendouzi get killed when he has a bad game? Why does Amanda's
Everyone kill gets
Guendouzi?
Killed when they have a bad game, love.
He doesn't. But, he doesn't. That's not fair. All I've said is I don't think
okay,
he's
Saka.
Our saviour.
Saka costs nothing. What did Saka, okay, played like a madman possessed. What I'm saying, you guys are missing the point. Pepe is not even getting stuck in. He's not trying to find the ball that isn't coming to him. Saka tries to find it. Guendouzi tries to
Every
find it.
Every player going, is distant.
He's going Sophie. Missing.
Sophie, Saka plays his football all his life here.
That's what I was just about to say that. Yeah.
He knows what it takes.
Hold on, Kevin, finish.
Let him finish.
I listen to you.
Why
Sophie.
Is it when I speak and you guys interrupt, I let you finish and
Sophie,
I'm
But you keep interrupting. Stop.
No, I don't.
Let him finish. So
Sophie,
what you got to
I
say,
didn't
Kev?
Interrupt you, darling. I didn't. All I'm saying is this. When you're born, I'm one of them kids who came through the ranks at Arsenal. And it's different to when a person comes from abroad because they don't know what it takes. They don't know the club intimately like I did.
I get that. I moved an entire country myself when I was young. An entire country, a new land, new language. You get stuck in. You get stuck in. And maybe, yes, some people take longer to acclimatize than others do. And all I'm saying is so far, I've seen nothing from Pepe to warrant a 72 million price tag. I've seen it from Guendouzi. I've seen it from Saka. I've seen it from Lacazette. Dear God, we've seen it from Aubameyang and then some. We've seen it from other players, Reece Nelson, Joe Willock. Pepe doesn't make the effort to change
Sophie,
and get stuck in. He just
Sophie,
doesn't.
Sophie, don't forget, as you mentioned Lacazette, Saka and that are young players. Guendouzi's a young player. Never even expected to be anywhere near the team. Now he's got a chance and he's taken it. Fair play to him, right? And it's a different position. It's midfield. But what I'm saying to you is this, my dear. It is a different kettle of fish when you come with that big price tag on your head. It is totally different. If they bought Pepe for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million quid, that would be allowed. That's fine. That's nothing.
Yeah.
But he's expected to hit the ground running. He's expected to do the business straight away. But patience seems to be a thing of the past. He has shown flashes. You can't say he hasn't shown flashes. But you're right. You are right in saying that he hasn't performed like a £72 million player. 100%. I agree with you on that. We have seen flashes. But I truly believe Nicolas Pepe will adapt. And once he gets it, he will be devastating for us. Right, so you can say what you like now, but darling.
I think that you guys have completely missed the point on Pepe that I'm making. Yes, it takes time. Yes, new players come into the league. Yes, they have to settle. Poor babies earning 200 grand a week. I've moved from France to England. Holy cow, you'd think it was from Madagascar to Alaska. I mean, you know, life is global when people want it to be. Things make sense for people when they want it to make sense. Truth of the matter is that he has done very little, and this is what I'm talking about. Do I hope that he becomes a great player? Of course I do. Do I see and did I see a great player when he played in France? Yes. But currently, as it stands right now, he's had zero impact for Arsenal Football Club. Zero. And I don't care how old he is. I don't care how much he costs. I don't care where he came from. Make an effort. And that's what I'm saying. He's not inserting himself into the game. He's not getting stuck in, because we do have deficiencies in how we're set up as a team, because we do have challenges with the coach. You have to make it count yourself. And that is what players like Saka and Guendouzi have done, despite the manager and despite the setup. He's not getting stuck in. End of.
Maybe that's not his game, my darling.
He can at least make himself known.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question then? Did Eden Hazard get stuck in at Chelsea?
Of course he did.
When he first turned up.
Hazard was great for Chelsea.
Oh, but not when he first turned up, he wasn't.
He was pretty good. I don't remember Hazard taking so long to settle in.
Oh, my God. So, 7 games is not so long.
Exactly.
It's
7 games.
It's not so long. This is the thing. I know what you're trying to say.
Okay, now you guys, I don't like how you're twisting this and how it's going to sound. I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying.
We are listening. You're saying the same thing. You're not listening to us.
No, you're not. No, right now, he's not
making
impact.
You want to see.
And I want to see him put in the same effort as Guendouzi and Saka.
But they're not the same. Oh, my God. Anyway, look.
In his position, Amanda, he can. Aubameyang fights for fucking everything. And he's at the top of the pitch, desperate for a ball. And he's got to go hunt and find. He's a hunter-gatherer.
So you're telling me that Pepe has had no impression on you whatsoever? Nothing.
No.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough. And you're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. I disagree. I think time is not 7 matches. Time is 17 matches where if again, and you know, he may need time to adjust. Every person, just because you went to LA and you got stuck in, I may go to LA.
I might move somewhere else before LA.
It may take me long. Soph, it may take me longer than you. Okay. So everyone is different. I've seen flashes. I agree with Kev on this. I've seen flashes. I was quite impressed with him first few games. I was quite excited. You keep going on about this dribble with Van Dijk. I've done it. I mean, great, but that's nothing. Anyone can dribble past the defender if he's caught on the wrong foot. All I'm saying is, let's just give him a bit of time. Aubameyang must have some United feeling for him to hand over the penalty. They want him to do well. Perhaps he's a nervous character. It's not his fault he cost 72.
What if he missed that penalty?
Then I'd blame Aubameyang. It's not his fault he cost 72 million quid. That is.
So why have you been giving, why is everyone been giving Paul Pogba a hard time?
Let me finish. Oh, Paul, do me a favour. Completely different kettle of fish. And you can't do that. Paul Pogba walked into that team. I am like, Ibrahimovic, or whatever, you know, Zlatan, the way he is, that cockiness. So don't start, you can't compare them. He's come from Lille, wherever he is, he needs time. Now, if in 5, 6, 7, 8 more matches time, we don't see anything, the manager does need to look again and see what's going on here. Extra training. I don't know what it is he'll need, but let's give him a chance. Because the whole team, and let's just go back to Xhaka and your love for Xhaka, okay? I had love for Xhaka. I was sick of everyone abusing him. I still don't like any abuse he gets, okay? A, he shouldn't be captain. B, he shouldn't be on the pitch. And C, everyone is trying to convince me that he didn't duck and the ball took a deflection. I've watched it again and I'm still in between how I feel, and that's irrelevant. I think he slows the game up. And I don't want him on the pitch. I don't abuse him and I don't blame him for any loss. Okay? I blame Louise for being stupid at Anfield. I blame Socrates for giving the penalty away at wherever it was, but both of them did it. That I will blame, but I don't blame for the whole team. You do not blame one person.
Well, we blame Xhaka for giving a penalty away against Spurs.
Yes, but then I blame Socrates for... What was the game he did? I can't remember. And
Watford
and Louise at Anfield. I don't blame them for us losing. It's a stupid error. You've still got 89 other minutes to win the game, but they didn't help us, did it? They're both stupid in what they did. So I don't go along with... the abuse ever. Okay. I've said for quite a while now, I don't want Xhaka in the team. I don't see Harry's captain, but if the players did vote for him, they must be giving, he must be giving them something. Okay. I don't know. All I know is he was lambasted on Monday night, Emery, for not picking Tierney, wet Tierney. And you don't know the full facts. And I say this time and time again, yet he wasn't fit enough to go and play for Scotland because Emery knows exactly what is going on with their fitness and we don't. Bellerin, we knew really they wouldn't all get a game. Yeah. I'm not fussed. I'd rather them be coming back slowly and get them fit properly than to get another injury. So that's how I feel. I want Pepe. I want people to stop talking about him, if I'm honest. Just give him a break and let him have a chance because we've already demonised him. 7 matches. I say
I haven't demonised him. All I'm saying is that he hasn't performed yet. And I hope he does.
And you think he should be dropped?
And currently he's been irrelevant. I do. In league, yes, against Bournemouth, he should be dropped and he should be put on the bench so he can have potentially a moment that where he comes on and he has an impact. He's an impact player. And the way Emery sets up the team from the start of the game, he can't have that impact. So he is being hindered from doing his job to give him some fairness. Now, in the Europa League match that's coming up, should he play? Yes, I wouldn't drop him in that because he could end up scoring a hat trick against a team like Standard Liège and then that will give him confidence. But in the Premier League, where the pace is slower than Europe, hold on a second, the pace is slower in Europe. You got a bit more time. In the Premier League, you don't. So he needs to build up a little bit of confidence. So I would play him in the Europa League right now. I'd drop him against Bournemouth, put him on the bench and give him a shot to come on and be a super sub. Manage him, manage the player, help him navigate through this lack of confidence.
Sophie, can I ask you a question then?
No.
If he scored a hat trick against Standard Liège,
I was going to say the same question.
I know you were, Amanda.
Did I just not preempt that?
You would drop him against Bournemouth.
Hold on 1 second. What did I say?
You said you'd drop him against Bournemouth.
I said he could. No, I said he could score a hat trick against a team like Standard Liège, right? We've seen Lacazette be an amazing player who has more experience and more love coupons with the Arsenal fans be dropped after being amazing.
But
so,
we're not talking about Lacazette. We're talking about Pepe.
I do think he should be dropped, yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, even if he scores a hat-trick.
Yeah, that's my point. Right, that's ridiculous,
yes.
Sophie.
Yes,
I do. Because if he scores a hat-trick tonight and he's buzzing, you'd want to continue and build on that, surely, 3 days later? No?
No, I'd put him on the bench and manage him differently.
So if he doesn't score a hat-trick tonight, you still would do the same thing on Sunday. He doesn't play for you on Sunday.
Put him aside before today's game and say, I'm going to play you tonight. I may not play you against Bournemouth. And then in the manager's mind, let's say he scores a hat-trick. He may well start him against Bournemouth. But I'm just saying that he needs a little bit of a wake-up call. You can't just assume you're going to start. And right now, unfortunately, with Arsenal Football Club, we're going back into a bit of Wengerism. And people are just assuming they're going to start. And until some of these players come back from injury, Kolasinac won't assume. Luis shouldn't assume. Sokratis shouldn't assume. Xhaka shouldn't assume, even though he's captain. Torreira completely being mismanaged. This is what I'm saying. He's mismanaging players.
Okay.
He's not managing them to their abilities.
Well, that will slightly move on nicely to the fact that he's mismanaging Ozil. God knows what's going on there. So we know he's not going to play in the Premier League. Kev, what's your take on this with Ozil? I think we need him on the pitch.
I've said it in previous pods before. Ozil's time at Arsenal's done. Said it before. The manager.
Why is he so anti Ozil?
No, the writing was on the wall from last. Let's have it right. The writing was on the wall from the end of last season where he was being left out. He's stropped in the Europa League final as well. Just put the final nail in the coffin. Mesut Ozil, he's got ability, but we can't carry anybody. Arsenal can't afford. He's only good going one way, Mesut Ozil, and we cannot carry anybody. Because if you, We're not the best team without the ball, and we will get found out even worse with Mesut Ozil. Because even against Watford, we took a 2-0 lead and we should have been coasting. But what happened when they started turning the heat up? We buckled. So he's just not going to have it. And plus, his wage could probably pay for 3 or 4 players coming in. So unfortunately, it's the end of the line. It's not mismanagement. It's just business.
So what? So where is he going to go? He doesn't have to go anywhere, does he?
He doesn't have to go anywhere. But if he's... But Arsenal fans are going to find out about Mesut Ozil now. Because if Mesut Ozil wants to play football and Arsenal are willing to loan him out or whatever and pay, make up the rest of his money, then great. But if he says, no, I'm sitting where I am, then they know he's a mercenary. He's just sitting there for the money. Plain and simple.
He's a lazy player. He's lazy in training. Okay, why do you think Pulisic isn't starting for Chelsea right now? There's outcry out here in the States. The golden boy of United States football is not starting for Chelsea, not being given his chance. Meanwhile, Mason Mount is starting, all of these other younger players. Why? Because rumour has it, and why wasn't he starting all the time at Dortmund? Because some players don't show it at training. Mesut Ozil, and I've been told by a very good source that Mesut, one of the reasons Emery started on this way with Ozil is because he was entitled. He was allowed to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And Wenger allowed that, not only with Ozil, but a lot of players. And Ozil hasn't shown the manager the graft. He is an entitled player. And to flip it to Mesut Ozil's benefit here, because as lazy as he is and has done absolute sweet FA in any game against any big team in all the time he's been at Arsenal, now we have a 350k a week player sitting on the bench to play in the Carabao Cup and the Europa League. Shambles, right? Now, people don't take into consideration what happened to Ozil after the World Cup. He's a fragile. Remember last year on the pod, I said to you, I worry about him. He seems fragile. There's certain players that seem a little fragile mentally. Things get to them. That whole debacle with the way the German Federation and fans blamed Ozil for Germany's failure in the World Cup was a disgrace. And if you don't think that affects someone says something bad about you and your family and you can't get over it or it affects you, it can change your life. It can make you feel differently about things. This is an entire nation blaming you for something. So you're dealing with that. You're also dealing with the fact you've had a shit football season and your new manager doesn't like you. Now you've also been attacked on the streets of London with a couple knives. See how Kolasinac is built differently. He's back on the pitch. He's playing. You could tell throughout that whole process and that experience, Ozil is just built differently. He's very much the modern day footballer. He's very in tune with society and things in life, a little bit like Bellerin. But Bellerin's tougher on the pitch. Ozil doesn't have that. And I completely agree with KC's days are gone at Arsenal. Forget about him.
But Kolasinac has been picked to play. Ozil's not been picked.
We've got no choice.
No, but what you're saying, he's built different and he came and fought for his, you know, place. But he's been picked.
He's mentally ready to play football, Amanda.
Yeah, but you don't know. I'm concerned. I'm really concerned.
Excuse me. If he's playing with the same argument when you say the manager knows when players aren't fit and this and that, whatever. Kolasinac is playing because he's fit to play mentally and physically.
Can't cross the ball.
Ozil's situation, no, he can't. Ozil's situation, he's not shown any of that previously. And now with these two major life events, people think that doesn't affect someone.
Yeah.
It does. And he'll probably end up back in Turkey. I hear that they're trying to actually raise sponsorship money at Fenerbahce and a couple other clubs to bring him over.
I think we could use him at the moment until that happens, but he's not going to. We need some creativity, that's for sure, because
but Amanda,
there's just nothing there.
Amanda, can I ask a question then?
Yeah, go on.
You've seen Ceballos play.
Yep.
He plays both ways. He plays with and without the ball.
Yep.
Would you put Ozil in front of him?
The weird thing about Ceballos is...
Simple yes or no.
It depends what game we're playing.
No. Simple yes or no.
I can't
answer. So what's happening on the pod today, people?
I can't answer that, Kev, because I've seen Ceballos run games and I've seen Ceballos stink the place out. So
he's run one game.
So I'm asking you. Mesut Ozil's been at the club 4 years or whatever.
I think I'd have him over Danny at the moment. Yeah.
So it's a simple question. Would you have Mesut Ozil in the team ahead of Ceballos, yes or no?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Okay.
With a G, yeah. Casey.
He wouldn't be in the club.
Yeah, see, it's not for him. But yeah, I would.
Because he doesn't work hard enough off the ball. Ceballos will.
And he does so for Spain.
If you think Mesut Ozil is all of a sudden going to change.
I don't. No, but I don't think that's his game.
I think there's this romance with Ozil.
It's the game in England, my love.
I know.
It's the game in England. You know that. I know that.
I know, but I just think we are so dull going bloody forwards and so with Xhaka slowing the game up. We could go on for ages about this. Let's just see what transpires. We've got Standard Liège coming up and then we've got Bournemouth. I'll tell you something.
All Emery has to do is make one change in midfield.
And who's
one change
for you?
In midfield. My team would be Leno, Bellerin at right back when fit. When everyone's fit, here's my team. Leno, Bellerin, Chambers, Holding, Tierney, Torreira, Willock, Guendouzi, Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette, Saka, Reece Nelson, always on the bench.
Hold on, you've just slated Pepe and now you'd have him in your first team.
I would, when everyone's fit and we're fire, yes, I would have him in the first team and then I would sub Reece Nelson, I'd sub out Saka if Pepe's not playing well. If you're looking at a starting 11, yes. And would I drop him? Yes. But I'm telling you, if everyone's fit and this is the Arsenal on paper, the best team on paper, that's the team. Do you disagree or agree with that?
Kev?
I think you made a really good point there, Sophie. Got to say.
I mean, I can't believe we're agreeing.
No, they are our front three. But I didn't think Pepe would be your front three. But
on paper, he should be. It's the same thing. On paper, Xhaka shouldn't be. On paper, really, Willock should be in the team. We're so much better. That kid. This is the thing now why I've slowly...
But hold on. Saka has been phenomenal since he's played. But you're dropping.
Yeah, but are you going to play Lacazette or Saka? Who are you going to drop? Aubameyang or Lacazette? I'll drop Pepe. That's what I'm saying.
Either of them, funny enough, coming from the bench, have such an impact. They have such an impact. Just swap them occasionally. Start with Lacazette and bring Aubameyang on.
One change in midfield can make Pepe a better player in one game.
Oh, I agree. He's not willing to do it. The midfield for me is always the problem at the moment. It is just the problem. But we have to move on. We need to do some predictions and things like that. Okay. So let's just go to Bournemouth and predict to Bournemouth. Kev, what do you think on Sunday?
I think Arsenal are going to win the game 3-1. A convincing home win.
Even though we play Europa Thursday night and we're normally a little bit naff.
A little bit jaded after that. But I think we're going to beat them because them coming to the Emirates, they don't have a good record there. And we've got to show ourselves. We've got to show ourselves.
I love the fact that I say naff and you say jaded. I think we'll go with your word, a little bit more professional than me.
Yeah, a little bit more professional.
So what did you say, 3-1?
3-1, yeah.
Okay. Soph?
Bournemouth are really good going forward and we are really poor in defence. And you know what? They don't have a bad midfield either. This is going to be a tough game. The only thing that gives me hope that we'll win is that we're playing at home. I actually think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think we'll score 4 and they'll score 3. And then I look forward to us signing Upamecano in January.
Well, I disagree with that. I don't think it will be a high-scoring game, not after playing Thursday night. I'm not ready with my prediction yet. I think we'll win, but I think it'd be something like 2-1, maybe 1-0. I don't know what I'm going to go for. Actually, I'm going to go for 1-0 on Sunday to us. I think you're right. If we were going to Bournemouth on Sunday, I think we're going to lose. I would say that. But there we go. Listen, it's been...
Wait, don't stop yet, because we have to just have 30 seconds where can we just please have a moment and enjoy... If I was playing roulette today, I'd play the number 2 and the number 7. What about you guys?
Excuse me.
Was that not the most pleasurable? That's as good as an orgasm, wasn't it? Let's not talk about orgasms again, but come on, that was special.
And the fact that Gnabry, or whatever his name is, Gnabry, whatever you want to call him.
Gnabry
has scored... Four goals. I was.
Did you see his celebration?
Yeah.
Keep stirring it, son.
Oh, do you know what? And I loved his tweet.
All the Arsenal players, ex.
I know.
Theo Walcott
when Gnabry did his tweet of North London is red. I mean, I'm not being funny. He wasn't at us for many years, was he? It wasn't like you, Kev. Do you know what I mean? Like a homegrown gooner.
He's still built that way.
I loved it.
Been at the club.
He's become like our hero, isn't he? He's fantastic. And look, none of us wanted to sell him anyway. We knew there was potential there, but he never got played by Wenger, did he? And I've heard different things that he wanted to go and Wenger wouldn't sign him and whatever anyway.
Well, he never got developed by Arsenal.
Yeah, there's a shock.
In 2012.
Yeah, that's a shock, yeah.
There's a shock. But,
sent out on loan a lot and,
but
you know.
It was pleasurable. I have to say this.
A lot of my Spurs mates have gone missing somewhere. I don't know where they are.
Funny, isn't it? Bit quiet in N17, yeah?
It's very quiet, I swear.
Well, I just think there was perhaps a power loss when there was a surge of power. Who knows?
Oh, my God. It was the best thing. Because when it went to 4-2, I was like, oh, my God, please don't let them have a comeback here.
I thought that.
Oh, my gosh. In that last 10 minutes, it was the best football I've seen in years.
Do you know what? My tweets were so far behind because at one point it was 5-2. I'm writing for, and then it was 6. I'd already just sent a tweet out for 5. Someone tweeted me and went, are you a bit behind? It's 6 now. And I couldn't keep up. And the thing is, what was even was that it was Gnabry. I mean, I have waited to have payback for Naeem from the halfway line. I know it's not as big a game, but the fact that an ex-Arsenal player has done that in their stadium.
Their brand new shiny toy.
Yeah, and then all the memes afterwards and all the videos have just been the funniest thing. Honestly.
They have been so creative, haven't they? Kev sent quite a few dads.
Oh, loads. The video, Kev.
I like your idea of their DVD, Amanda. Like, where's your DVD for this performance?
And I listed everything that could be in it. I thought I was going to get a lot of abuse from Tottenham fans. But I've not had one. You're right, Kev. They've gone missing.
But they've got nothing to say.
Well, wouldn't you, if we lost 7-2? I mean, we lost 5-1 to Bayern and we just like... But
away from home, thank God. That wasn't at home. That was in Munich too. So we do have that excuse.
In the new stadium as well.
Listen, the wheels of something major. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about any rumours, but you've all heard the rumours.
Yes.
It feels like something major.
But you know what? I want to bring up, Kev, when we had Dale on the pod, and Sophie knows what I'm going to say. They desperately want Pochettino as manager, and Soph knew because I took a deep breath and I went, for what reason? He hasn't won a trophy. And I asked how old Dale was. He was in his 20s, wasn't he, Soph? And I said, there's the difference, yeah? We've been brought up to win the League Cup, the FA Cup, the Europa Cup, the Champions. You want to win something. I wouldn't want a manager coming in to United, who, as we know, are one of the biggest clubs in the world, that has not won anything. Why are you so desperate to have a manager that hasn't won anything? I'm sorry.
They put David Moyes in, didn't they?
Yeah, but that was Fergie's choice, wasn't it?
But they still put him in.
Yeah, but they weren't desperate for him, the fans. They're all desperate for Pochettino.
No, of course they weren't. Of course they weren't.
But now they fancy Pochettino, and it's like, why? Why? What has he done? Wenger got us to a European final. We got to a final last year, but he didn't play well. And
the difference, though, Amanda, is this. If Pochettino went to United, United are a club who are steeped in winning. Spurs ain't. Spurs are not that team.
Yeah, but he doesn't win anything. So why do you want him?
No, because if he could help Spurs do what they're doing now, what could he do at United with the financial power
but
that they have?
But they haven't got that many
decent players.
They don't
even have the players.
Yeah. And Tottenham, actually, but not being biased here, Tottenham have got better players than United at the moment. They're just not firing on their cylinders. I mean, look.
Yeah, but did you hear what I said?
Yeah, but they haven't got
the
money.
What could he do with the financial power?
I don't think they've got the money, United.
Of course they've got the money.
I mean, let's be fair, though. He still bought Lo Celso. He was given money to buy Lo Celso and Ndombele.
He spent a lot of money.
I mean, they spent a fair bit of money. He was given the three position players.
How much did he spend last summer?
He spent nothing. He spent nothing.
I think there's a fallacy. That's my point, Kev.
But that's kind of a bullshit kind of... everyone keeps saying, oh, they never spent anything. They got to the Champions League final. Okay, the Champions League final masked a lot... Yeah, they did, but it masked a lot of pain. 13 losses. Arsenal and Man United let them get away with it. I can't believe that we allowed that. They lost 13 times in the Premier League. And let's be fair, a couple of lucky calls along the way and they got to the Champions League final. They haven't even won a trophy and they're in the Champions League final. Think about modern day football and what is wrong with this picture. Even Liverpool haven't won the Premier League in 25 plus years and they found themselves in the last two Champions League finals. I mean, there's a funky, wonky thing going on in European football right now. And now they're going to introduce a third tournament. So with Tottenham, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't be lauded as a great team last season and you spent no money. And then the wheels start coming off. It's like, oh, poor Poch. He hasn't been able to spend. No, this summer he was given money to spend. He was given the Champions League money.
Somebody,
say that again.
I would never say poor.
No, but you know what? He's the darling of the media, isn't he? And he's like, the whole team are. They were very upset they lost 7-2. Yet when we lost 5-1 or whatever, when we lost 8-2 at Old Trafford, they couldn't wait. Yeah.
We're nailed to the cross.
I just don't understand this media loving with them. But anyway, listen, they lost.
It's called Harry Kane, the darling of English football, well, babe.
Good for them, because at the moment they haven't won anything in their beautiful stadium, and let them get on with it. But it was absolutely hysterical, and and I don't think they can live it down. And one of my friends who's been on this pod, who is a Tottenham fan, not this pod, the pod I was on previously, and he's a commentator over Tottenham, he put on his Facebook the next morning, I've had better nights at the Lane, and it was about 5-7. And I went, you're a bit early, aren't you? It's not even 7 a.m. yet. And he went, I thought you'd do better than that, man. So I went, I will do in 7:02. Look, to be fair, as long as you can have banter, it's great. And I've got a lot of Tottenham friends, but your family must have been.
That room was just fantastic.
I'd have just gone, hello.
I did. I go, anyone here? #asking for a friend. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller.
Oh, no.
Because they were having a chat and then I said something and they were like, all right. We know you hate Tottenham. I'm like, there's no need to get touchy. Why are you so touchy?
Oh, listen, we're entitled to have a little bit of fun. There's been so many over the years that we've had.
Come on. Right. I mean, think about it. Think about all those bloody drubbings we've had along the way. Exactly. And right now I'm salivating because I've just seen a picture on Twitter of Pyebury Corner, and Fever Pitch is having a pie and it looks so damn delicious.
Oh, bless. I love Pyebury Corner. Oh, right, God. Listen, so we've got a little new thing coming up that I'm going to let Sophie tell you all about.
Oh, right, sure, fine, why not? So what we're going to do is, after a few games, like a lot of podcasters do, dear God, are we getting into the video age? We might be. So after the European games and some of the Premier League games, depending on what we're doing, where we are, we're going to be going to our YouTube channel, Highbury Squad. You can find us there, and we'll be doing some live post-game analysis, or we'll be posting some post-game analysis thoughts. So always be sure to check it out and let us know what you think. So yes, we want you to get stuck in, have your voice heard. Who knows, Amanda, maybe we'll do a post game with a fan and KC and everyone. That could be fun a little down the line as this season goes. And boy, Think about it. It's only the beginning of October and we're all getting bent out of shape already.
Oh, so Kev and Sophie will be on the YouTube channel. Unfortunately, I won't be. But let's hope we beat Standard Liège. So hop on over to our YouTube channel. It's so funny. And take a look after this pod because you may not know we're there. So, all right, everyone. Thank you, Kev. Lovely to have you back.
Good to speak to you, Amanda. Thanks for hosting, darling.
Ah, you're welcome. The hostess with the mostess.
With the most.
Even if I say so myself. Soph, I hope Pepe scores 7 tonight. And then doesn't get dropped for Sunday, but hey-ho. Thank you, darling.
Always, always.
Always, always.
Always rooting for Pepe as well.
I know you are. I know you wanted to do well. Right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, for your tweets. Thank you for retweeting all our stuff and rating us and enjoying what we do. If there's anything specific you'd like to hear us talk about, then just tweet us at our personal accounts or Highbury Squad. But as always, it's always Arsenal.